May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O gracious God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This Remembrance Sunday is about service and memories and preparedness. It is also about stories. Stories of those who served in two world wars, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Balkans, Afghanistan, and other areas of conflict. It is about the ones who went and returned, of course, in some cases with terrible physical and psychological injuries, and those who did not return. For all of them and for those continuing to serve, we give our deepest and most heartfelt thanks this day. There are 98 names on our memorial board of those who served in World War II. And you heard a little earlier the names of the 11 in that war from this parish who did not return home. As we remember them, let us reflect on what it took for them to go in the first place, to stay in the conflict until they were injured or killed, or until the war ended. And then for those who could return home, but changed forever. As you may know, both in the First and Second World Wars, there was no conscription in Canada until the latter part of both wars, meaning Canadian military personnel, for the most part, were not forced to serve. But serve they did. And perhaps we need to ask why. And beyond that, perhaps we need to ask ourselves whether we would be willing to serve if the need arose today, and if so, why? And if we were able to answer the why, then could we also answer how we would prepare ourselves to serve? The people who served in both of the great wars from Canada were typically young, idealistic, courageous, enthusiastic, and for the most part, well-trained. In addition, many, if not most, were people of faith who believed that they were fighting on the side of right and God would protect them, and in many cases, of course, God did. But they were also aware of the sacrifices they would be called to make. Today in Matthew's Gospel, we hear Jesus' parable of the 10 bridesmaids. It is a story, of course, and particularly it is a story about watchfulness, alertness, preparedness, and sacrifice. We never know on what day or at what hour the bridegroom is going to arrive. We are simply warned to be ready at all times. Five of the bridesmaids were foolish and unprepared. So when the bridegroom arrived, as you heard, he said he did not know them, and accordingly, they were not allowed into the banquet. Living in Durham region, as we do, not far from two nuclear power plants, we are asked by the region periodically whether we are in possession of our emergency evacuation plans, showing us where to go and how to get there in case of an accident or a disaster. In other words, are we prepared? The people of Canada, and particularly those serving in its armed forces, have been and continue to be asked whether we are prepared for another conflict like those we have faced in the past. In other words, are we prepared? And Jesus continues to ask, are we prepared for the kingdom of God? And how are we preparing for God's kingdom? Are we the wise or the foolish bridesmaids? And will we be allowed into the banquet? Each of us has a story, and that life story is our preparation. It perhaps matters little what has occurred in the past in our lives, but rather, what is it in our life story today that will prepare us for God's kingdom? As we move closer to the season of Advent, the season of coming, and the season of hope, in preparation once again for the story of the arrival of our Lord and Savior, It is a really good time to take stock, to reflect on our individual stories, in an effort to decide whether we are prepared or whether we have much more to do. I would encourage you at this time to think about your story, what brought you to this place and what keeps you here, and what more you can do to continue to build this body of Christ as part of your own faith journey. I would even encourage you to write that story down, review it, and add to it from time to time. In my own case, I would like to think that I am prepared, but in reality, I expect I am no more than a work in progress. I think this will be the last time I have a chance to do this, so let me share with you just a little bit of my story, my faith journey, my knocking on the banquet doors, and how that began. I grew up in what our family considered to be a Christian household, and I have early memories of attending Sunday school at two different churches. Fortunately, the timing was perfect because I could go from one to the other. My parents belonged to different denominations, that's the reason for that, where we lived in Texas. Later on, after my family had moved to Calgary, I have memories as a teenager of attending a Christian youth group at church and singing in the junior choir and belonging to a Hi-Wi club in high school. It was about that time that I thought I would like to be an ordained minister. My parents, being products of the Depression, didn't show much support for that idea. And let me tell you how that works. If you're raised in the, or partially raised in the southern Midwest, the fifth commandment is the most important one. Honor thy father and thy mother. In other words, they didn't question me, I didn't question them, but we got to know each other so well that I could anticipate what they were thinking. So seeing that they were not happy with this idea, I moved on to other things and pursued a different path. But you know, what goes around comes around. After lapsing and then reconnecting with the church, first in my 20s and then in my 40s, God's call to me came, as I think it usually does, in the form of another person and my relationship with that person. His name was Alex. And he was assigned to me to get some exposure and experience with commercial and corporate banking in which I was working. He was young and bright and enthusiastic. Think about all those young men who went off to war in 1914 and 1939. He was young, bright, and enthusiastic and sported a Harvard MBA. And I was his mentor. We became close and developed a friendship. He was married and had two delightful little daughters, 2 and 5 at the time. I just spent time with one of them a couple of weeks ago. His wife, delightful. I became friends with this family. His future was bright, and I was just going to enjoy the ride to the top with him. His ride to the top. Alex called me on February 1st, 1984, to tell me that he had just been diagnosed with stomach cancer. It turned out not to be operable. He quickly made plans for the balance of his life, how long or short that might be. He used to play a game with his daughters called Chairman of the Board, and that's exactly who this person was. Part of what he wanted to do was learn as much as possible about his Christian faith, and he was a Roman Catholic. So only as Alex could, he called the Jesuits at Scarborough Missions and said, "Send somebody out here to teach me." He lived in Oakville. Father Ed Sheridan, S.J., took on the task and traveled from Scarborough to Oakville every Sunday to teach, anoint, and communicate the sacrament. I, too, was there most Sundays, but I only had to come from Toronto. Each of those Sundays, I came away feeling deeply moved and also feeling I had received very much, but I had offered very little. On January 31st, 1985, the phone call came that dear Alex had knocked on the banquet doors and was warmly welcomed in. A journey of 365 days from diagnosis to going home. To this day, I cannot retell this story without some tears. I apologize for that. Now, the rest of the story is far too long to recount in detail. But the following 8 years included a time of discernment. It included leaving my profession. It included entering seminary. It included applying for holy orders twice. I was turned down the first time. And finally, ordination in May of 1993. So year 25 is coming up in the spring. And even on that day, I remember sitting on a bench with my examining chaplain, Ansley Tucker, for those who would know Ansley, and telling her, I'm not sure I want to do this. I got used to a life where if things didn't work, you could fix them. You could undo them. What I was about to enter into, I could not undo. Once ordained, I was stuck with that. And I prayed that would bring me and I hope a few other people some happiness and some joy in the coming years. I don't know whether it has. I'm still living out my story, and I thank you for bearing with me to hear a bit of it. Also, I remain a work in progress. I'm fully aware of that, not knowing how the story will end, but remain willing to persevere, to be as prepared as possible, but knowing that it is only by God's grace that the door may be opened when my time comes to knock. For all of those who have gone before, those we remember and honor today, and for all of us, let us keep in mind these words of Jesus from his Sermon on the Mount. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Amen.